Well, good morning. How many of you pray when you're going to work while you're driving? Any of you? Well, I do it all the time. Actually, I got stopped Wednesday. I was at the corner of Dragoon Highway or Dragoon Trail and Bremen Highway, making a left-hand turn at the stop sign. I didn't tell Ruth this, so. Making a left-hand turn onto Bremen Highway from Dragoon Trail, and the light is red. So I just stopped and closed my eyes and prayed. But just for a second, you know. And all of a sudden, I hear a honk behind me, and it's a police officer. The light is green. Apparently had been that way for a while. So I made a left-hand turn and went down towards the Meyer store, and all of a sudden he lights up and pulls me over. Now, I guess being old, he came to the door and says, "Are you all right, sir?" I said, "Why do you ask?" He said, "Well, it took me two honks." I said, "Well, I was praying." And he let me go. There were three pastors meeting in their office one afternoon talking about prayer. And in the office was a telephone repairman. Now, do any of you know what a telephone repairman is? Because, you know, we have cell phones today, but back in the dark ages, we used to have them come in and repair our lines because of water and other things. This telephone repairman was there fixing the lines, and these three pastors were talking about prayer. And the first pastor said, "You know, the only way to pray is I put my hands together, put them up towards heaven, and bow very reverently to God." The second pastor said, "You know, that's good, but," he said, "I find the only way to pray is on my knees. So I get on my knees in a reverent position, and I pray." The third pastor said, "Boys, you got it all wrong." He said, "I lay on my face, prone, sign of the cross. That's the only way to pray." While the telephone repairman, listening to these three guys, just hardly could keep his mouth shut. And he said, "You know, I found the most powerful prayer I've ever prayed was when I was dangling 40 feet high on a telephone pole." You know, I think that repairman's got it right, because there are times when we are so desperate, that's the only time we pray, isn't it? And those are the times we pray the most powerful prayers we can. Well, today we're coming to the end of our short series on the book of James. And James told us in the introduction that we are to persevere and pray when we meet trials of various kinds. Now in the conclusion, in James chapter 5, he's telling us, be patient and pray in those times of persecution and pain. Well, this morning as we close out our series on James, we're going to see how to pray with power in the midst of our prayers. Would you pray with me right now? So, Father, we come to you asking you to just quiet our hearts. Allow us to concentrate on your word, not the things that I have to say, but the things that the Holy Spirit has to say to you, to each of us. So, Father, calm our hearts, open our minds and our ears, that we might listen to your word, for it's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to look at James chapter 5, beginning with verse 13 this morning. If you have your Bibles, that would be great. If not, it'll be up on the screen. But James 5:13 says, "Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praises." I think what James is saying here to each of us is just don't come to God when there's an emergency. I don't know if you're like me, but many times I will do that. There's an emergency, I go to God. When things are running well, I leave him alone. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to come to him at all times, in times of suffering to be sure, but also in times of sufficiency. And if we pray with great power, then we need to pray constantly. Pray at all times. I shared upstairs that I had a youth pastor one time who would come into our chapel services for our youth in our school and pray, but he'd never say amen. And one of the students asked him, "Rube, why don't you say amen?" He says, "Because I'm not finished. I pray all day long." We kind of need that kind of heart, don't we? Many times we'll come to God when we're hurting, but we also need to come to God and praise him when things are going wonderfully, when things are going well. And if you want to pray with great power, you need to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the key, folks. Because the Bible tells us an unsaved person, God doesn't hear. Now that might shock some of you, but it's a fact. God listens to his believers. So if you have been a born-again child of God, if you've been washed by the blood, accepted him through faith in Jesus Christ, then not only do we get to pray to God, but one day we'll be with him in heaven. And I think going to heaven is great, but I think the better thing is our fellowship with him. Because that's what we get to do. We get to have fellowship, to thank him and praise him in all things. When things aren't going so well, we need to ask for help. When things are going great, we need to praise him in all things. The Bible says in Philippians 4:6, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So we need to pray about everything. If you want to pray with great power, then we need to pray constantly. Well, secondly, if you want to pray with great power, then we need to pray confidently. You who have faith, ask God to deliver those who are struggling with their faith. And we know a lot of those people, don't we? Whether it's a neighbor, a friend, a relative, a spouse. We all have people in our lives who are struggling. And we need to pray for them as well. James puts it right here in the next few verses, talking about the prayer of faith. In James 5:14 and 15, he says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call upon the elders of the church, and let them pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven." Years ago, I was asked to go to the hospital and pray for a woman who was dying of cancer. Several days before I got there, a group of her friends had come to pray for her. They anointed her with oil, and nothing happened. She was never healed. In fact, the cancer spread, and ultimately she died. Her friends said she had a lack of faith. That's why she wasn't healed. This lady was devastated. Was that the right way to use these verses? No, it wasn't. Let's look at this verse. Verse 14 tells the sick to call upon the elders of the church. Now, I think it's very interesting that God says, call upon the elders of the church. Why? Because they are mature in their faith. That's because the sick person many times is weak in their faith. They're sick. They're not feeling well. I don't know if you've ever had this time, but when I've been sick many times, I say, "Oh, woe is me," and start having a pity party, blaming it on God. And it's not God's fault. But I was weak in my faith. So we need to call upon the elders of the church. Many times because our struggles cause us to have doubt in our faith. So we need to have confidence. We need to have the kind of faith that believe that God really cares for us. And he does. After all, he sent his son to die on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. The Greek word here for sick literally means to be weak, means to be without strength or to be powerless. In Romans 4, chapter 4, or verse 14, it speaks to having those who have a weak faith. In 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about those who have a weak conscience. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, it talks about, it describes a person who is weak and is easily led to sin. And that's what happens. When we're weak, Satan just gets in and tries to muddle up the mess, muddle up our lives, and destroy our faith. And that's the same word that is used here in James 5:14. The word sick, it's translated sick. So how do we know whether they're talking about a physical weakness or a spiritual weakness? Well, the context of chapter 5 gives the answer. Verse 15 talks about the one who has committed sins. Verse 16 talks about confessing your sins. And verses 19 and 20 talk about bringing a sinner back from their wanderings. In chapter 1 of James, he warned us about trials and temptations, about trials becoming temptations. And so often in our lives, they do, don't they? So here at the conclusion of this book, he addresses the one who is already about to give in to sin, the one who is sick, the one who is weak, the one who needs strength. So you call upon the elders of the church. And verse 15 says, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is weak. Dear friend, I don't know what you're struggling with this morning. We all have struggles, mostly secret. But maybe you have a drinking problem. Maybe you have a drug problem. Maybe you have a porn issue. Maybe you're wrestling with something like bitterness or pain. Perhaps you're struggling with anger in your heart, worry and anxiety, depression. That's a biggie. Whatever your struggle is, the church, the elders are here for you. Just call upon us, and we'll surround you with love and our prayers. We're not here to judge you. We're here to support you and pray for you and help you. So if your faith is weak, let those who have a little stronger faith come around you and help you. The prayer of faith is practicing what you pray. It's a part of answering your own prayers, of having the prayer of faith. When you ask God to encourage and refresh a discouraged believer, you can't imagine what that does for that person. You can be such an encouragement just by giving a kind word. Today we go and we anoint with oil. And we say a prayer over that person. The oil has absolutely no power. It's a symbolic act. But the prayer of faith does. And that's what God hears. So often we just need to hear a kind word. Maybe a hug from somebody. Sometimes that's all we need. James chapter 2, 15 and 17 says, if a brother or sister is poorly clothed or lacking in daily food, the one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. That means the prayer of faith is more than words. It expresses ourselves in works, a hug, a kind word, time spent with them. So if you want to pray with great power, first you need to pray constantly. Secondly, you need to pray confidently. And third, you need to pray corporately. James 5:16 tells us this. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Beloved, there is power when people get together and pray. So if you're struggling, please don't do it yourself. Call upon a friend, an elder. Perhaps you're in a group, connection group. Allow them to love on you and pray for you. Don't let a prideful heart keep you where Satan would love you to keep, stay. If you're weak today, get together with God's people and borrow from those who are strong in the faith. And then it will not only you, but it benefits the church as well, because we come together as a body of believers. We are the church, not this building. But you and I make up the church. And the you is plural in verse 16. James is talking about the healing of the whole church, the body of believers. In other words, all of us are encouraged when we see God work miracles in individuals' lives. And as a result of those miracles, you and I are strengthened in that process. But in order for that to happen, you and I must be open and honest with each other. We need to admit our struggles rather than try to hide them. Or as James puts it here, we need to confess our sins to one another. And that's hard to do. I don't know about you, but I'm full of pride. And I like to stay pretty private. So that's a very difficult thing. But on the times when I've been able to do that, share the hurts, the burdens that I have, and others have prayed for me, I can't tell you what that has meant. As God's people, we are in need of a great healing, God's healing. But for that to happen, we need to admit our struggles to one another, and we need to confess our sins to each other. And then we need to pray for each other, not gossip, not judge, but just lift up each other before the cross of Calvary. And what a blessing that'll be. So if you want to pray with great power, first you need to pray constantly. Secondly, you need to pray confidently. Third, corporately. And fourth, fervently. We need to pray with a sense of urgency. We need to ask God earnestly for a healing. No matter what's going on in our lives. James 5, 17 and 18 says this. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. Now, James uses the example of Elijah. Why? Because he was just like us, an ordinary person. He had his highs, he had his lows, he had his victories, he had his sorrows. But one day he's calling down fire from heaven. The next day, he's so depressed he wants God to kill him. He had his weaknesses just like you and I do. And in spite of that, or maybe because of that, because of those weaknesses, he prayed. And you know what? God answered his prayers. You see, God doesn't like to answer lackadaisical prayers, just Looney Tune prayers sometimes, I call them. He wants them to be important to him because we are important to him. And that doesn't mean that nothing is important to him, because everything is. But sometimes very flippantly we'll just throw up a prayer, not expecting God to work. That's not what God wants. Despite not being desperate sometimes to God, He still answers our prayer. That's so important. Are you desperate this morning to have God answer something in your heart? Is there something going on in your life this morning? Only you know. Well, that's not true, because God already knows. He just wants you to acknowledge it. We need to be honest with Him. All of us are in desperate need of God. But some of us don't care to admit it. Beloved, without Him, we can do nothing. We can't even take our next breath without Him. For it's our Lord who gives the breath of life to each one of us. And I thank Him for that. Powerful prayer is fervent prayer. Prayer that is desperate for God to act. So if you want to pray with great power, first you need to pray constantly. Secondly, you need to pray confidently. Third, you need to pray corporately. Fourth, you need to pray fervently. And my friends, fifth, you need to pray effectively. Your prayers will be successful. James 5, 19 and 20 says, "My brothers, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." Because of time, because we're going to do something a little different at the end, we really don't have time to unpack this entire passage. But I want you to know, God works in supernatural ways, and He works through you and me through supernatural ways. Your prayers make a difference. Your prayers make a difference in people's lives. So do you want to pray with great power? Then you need to pray constantly. You need to pray confidently. You need to pray corporately. You need to pray fervently. And you need to pray effectively. And God will use you to do supernatural things. He will transform lives of individuals that you're praying for. Christmas Eve, several years ago in New York City, at the Fifth Avenue Baptist Church, or Presbyterian Church, a young man by the name of Jim came in. Jim was a former alcoholic, 6 months clean. And he sat in about the 11th row, and in the 7th row came down the aisle, and a family of four sat. A couple of kids, husband and wife. And Jim looked at them and started crying. He couldn't take it. You see, his family had been killed. That's why he turned to alcohol. Jim got up and started out of the church, and Pastor Tom stopped him and said, "Jim, where are you going?" "Well, Pastor, I'm going out for a scotch. I can't handle it." He said, "I see that family in front of me. That should be mine." Pastor said, "Jim, come into my office." And they went in their office, and he brought several elders in. And they prayed with him. And Pastor came out to finish the service up. And at the end of the service, he asked the question. He says, "Is anyone here tonight a friend of Bill Wilson? And if you are, you'll know it. Could you step out for a moment into my office? Because we have a friend. My mother was an alcoholic. I know who Bill Wilson was. He was the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous. And anyone who's ever had that problem knows who Bill Wilson is. And at the drop of a hat, dozens came forward. Young men, older men, women, into the pastor's office. And they prayed with that man. And together they fought the forces of evil in Jim's life. That's what we're here for. You and I. To lift each other up, to pray for each other. We're going to do something a little different this morning. In fact, I'm going to come down off the platform if I don't stumble and fall. You need to come up and see these little stairs. Called the Acts model. And the Acts model is a very good way for each of us to focus our hearts to see what God has done and who He is. And this morning, I want to pray through the Acts model as we pray together, explaining it as we pray, and then during that time, you can pray as well, silently. So would you bow your heads with me right now as we talk about this Acts model? The A stands for adoration. And that's a time when we can focus directly on God, adoring Him, who He is, His names, His character, His roles, all of those things that He's done for us. So let's take a few minutes this morning just to adore God. Would you pray? C stands for confession. When we acknowledge who God is and adore Him for all of that He is, confession is natural. And I praise the Lord because of the blood that He shed on Calvary's cross. We can confess our sins to Him, and He washes them clean by that blood that Jesus shed. Would you go to God and ask Him to confess what's ever in your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit? Ask God to search your heart in areas that displease Him. Go to God right now. And allow God to cleanse your heart from any unconfessed sin that you might have. And then ask Him to bring any unconfessed specific sins that you're going through right now. Perhaps it's anger. Perhaps it's a moral issue. Perhaps it's discouragement. And ask Him to accept, and then we need to accept His forgiveness and cleansing. Jeremiah 31:34 says, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sins no more." The T in the acrostic stands for thanksgiving. And this is a time when we can come before the Lord and give Him our prayers of thanks. Thanks for what He's done for us. For our salvation, for the many blessings, for our spouses, our families, our work, for all those things that he does that we just take for granted many times. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And then lastly, the S stands for supplication. Prayers of request. This is the time to ask God for his divine help for our needs, to solve problems, to work in someone's life. There's all kinds of things. Philippians 4:6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God."